from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings, El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
Get Macy's lowest prices of the season on furniture, mattresses, and rug specials. Kick back on a Lily fabric sofa for $579. Sit down to the new Aberdeen 5-piece dining set, now $1,049. And stretch out on the Canyon Queen bed, just $339. Plus, get 50 to 60% off select Simmons and Sealy mattresses. Going on now at Macy's. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Gentlemen, now you can find the best brands and fits for you without even trying. Just follow these easy instructions. Step 1. Shop a personalized store that does all the work for you by customizing a selection for your taste and body. Step 2. Level up your closet with the best brands and fits with little to no effort. Not trying has never looked so good. Introducing Stitch Fix Freestyle, your personalized store. We're so you.
Freddie Coleman.
I don't think you're going to make it in the next couple of minutes.
Ian Fitzsimmons.
I really don't think I'm going to make it through the night. I don't.
Are Freddie and Fitzsimmons.
Oh, them.
More of a good thing.
He is the king of the reverse jinx.
Tom Brady had a chance to speak, and once again, he shows us he's that every man for you.
And greetings and salutations, brothers and sisters. He's Ian Fitzsimmons.
Cam Atkinson, just hit the post!
I'm Freddie Coleman. We are
Freddie and Fitzsimmons. Weekdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
It is opening night in the NBA. Where do you lie? What do you stand? Are you literally sitting there going, why even bother? Because we know who's going to win it all. We know who's going to play in the NBA Finals. LeBron James and the Lakers out of the West.
I don't play the game thinking about injuries. And also feel worse when I play low minutes. For me, I just try to prepare my mind and my body. Keep myself as fresh mentally than anything. You know, I know the body will take its toll. That's going to happen. I mean, that's what the season is all about. And, you know, being the survival of the fittest, you know, is what it's about. But keeping my mind as fresh as possible will keep me going.
That is the king talking about workload management and how they're going to somehow make it through the season, says they're old and ancient, because that is one of the things that people are going to be talking about this year. Carmelo Anthony, Russ Westbrook, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Rajon Rondo have one of the oldest rosters, one of the most loaded rosters, and more importantly, of course, talented here as well. So they will be taking on the Warriors tonight in the late game on TNT. Before that, it's the Nets and Bucks, and obviously big storylines with Kyrie Irving going on over there this season. Kevin Durant.
First game always going to be, everybody's excited for the first game, you know, the opening week of the season. So, but we want to keep this energy no matter who we play. We know how crazy this year might be as far as the chatter around our team. We want to stay locked in with each other, focus on whoever's in the building, and let that stuff take care of itself.
But of course, it is going to be a lot of chatter because one of the better players in the league, one of the best players team is Kyrie Irving, and he's not playing for you. He won't get vaccinated, doesn't want to do it, and because of that and the rule over there in New York City, you have to be vaccinated for him to even practice, much less play in the game. So it means he couldn't play in 41 home games. Screaming A this morning.
Me personally, I think they need to trade him. The problem is there's no market out there for him because every executive I've spoken to says, we know he's box office. We know he's a superstar. The question is, how badly does he want to play? We don't trust that he's going to come in here and just play ball without these other distractions. We don't believe that basketball is his priority. As a result, he's probably not going to go anywhere. But if you are the Brooklyn Nets, based on things that have transpired, I reiterate this point, guys. He was off 10 months last year before coming back for 7 games and needed a break. I mean, in 2 weeks after you've been off for 10 months. I mean, let's just put that, we don't put that in enough perspective. 10 months off, 2 weeks back, and you need a break. KD gonna always support him. James Harden's a real dude, but he's gonna keep his mouth shut. At the end of the day, they're hoopers. Kyrie is a dude who can hoop exceptionally well. The difference between hoopers and guys who can hoop exceptionally well is that he has the talent on par with anybody. But they give you the impression they'll play for free. Kyrie acts like there's so much on his mind that basketball is damn near a distraction. And that's just not going to fly.
Yeah, like I said, it's going to be interesting to see one of those storylines this year and how it continues. Again, what I find fascinating is all of the top teams. And you got some teams. You got some loaded teams this year. I think you got half a dozen teams that legitimately have more than one or two superstars building it differently that are going to be competitive. I love the way last year ended. You had a handful of teams that could go to the finals. And yeah, look, injury didn't just affect the Pels, it affected the Nets. I think it helped, it prevented them from running away with it and not getting to the finals. The Bucks were able to take advantage of it. It didn't help the Heat. COVID injuries prevented their quick start. The Warriors, without the play-in, they're not in the postseason because they didn't have Klay Thompson. They're expecting and hoping that he's ready for the Christmas Day game against the Suns. So the first 2 months of the season, or month and 2 weeks, they'll be without Klay Thompson. But Steph Curry put up 41 in the preseason finale just this past weekend. So that gives you an idea of some of the storylines. Now, then you add the storyline going on in Philadelphia. So we know the whole Ben Simmons thing, and it's literally on right now on the basketball show that ESPN is having on near the top of the 2 o'clock hour. It used to be The Jump. It's something else now, and I just forgot the name of it. Anyway, Ben Simmons is going to be fined $1.4 million for an absence per the games and all of that other aspect that's going on here as well. He got suspended today. He was practicing today, third straight day after clearing health and safety protocols. Yesterday, there was video of him practicing with a cell phone in his pocket. Today, something happened at practice. Enough to where Doc Rivers threw him out of practice. Kicked him out. Immediately after, the team suspended him. Conduct detrimental to the team. And he's gone for tomorrow night's season opener. After practice, Joel Embiid on Ben Simmons.
At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants. That's not my job. That's those guys' jobs. I'm only focused on trying to make the team better, win some games, play hard every night, try to lead. The guys that we have here, and I'm sure they feel the same way because, our chemistry has been excellent, despite, everything that's been happening the last few months. I don't really care.
So again, they're showing the footage in the video, Ben Simmons away from the team, not breaking down in a huddle after practice, being the first to walk away, doesn't engage with any of the players, and that's what the team is saying, that he didn't engage in anything the Sixers are doing, and Kendrick Perkins is even bringing it up right now on ESPN. It's just disrespectful. He's literally practicing with a cell phone in his pocket. By the way, Joel Embiid didn't stop there.
But at the end of the day, our job is not to babysit somebody. We get paid to produce on the court, go out, play hard, win some games. That's all we get paid for. We don't get paid to come out here and, try to babysit somebody. So that's not our job, and I'm sure my teammates feel that way.
So our ESPN opinion poll question of the day is simple. Are the Pelicans a playoff team, a play-in team, or not a playoff team? Give me your predictions now in a poll. What do you vote on? Tim Legler, final bite, and then we'll go to the phone lines. Who does he like out west?
Lakers. I don't see any way that someone's going to be able to beat them. And the main reason is because I just believe in LeBron James. And I know there's going to be questions about how they close games with Russell Westbrook and LeBron on the floor at the same time. I understand that. Russ's value to them in a regular season is going to be exponential because he's going to allow LeBron to conserve himself without losing games
there
because now they have a second battery pack. So I just have faith in LeBron. Obviously, health's the key with that team. LeBron and AD are healthy at the right time. Lakers win the Western Conference.
There it is. Real simple. Let somebody else run this show for a bit. Ain't that right? Travis, member of the Kingdom. I knew he would call today. There is no doubt you would let this go. It's a joyous occasion for you. How's the castle look, man? The festivities, there's some banter, some extra pork being, you know, grilled out there with an apple in its mouth. What is it like today? The start of what you obviously expect, a championship season for your L.A. Lakers.
Well, you know, my Mickey Mouse ring is signed up really well, but it seems like this year I'm going to have to replace it with a new championship ring this year because we take it at home. Hopefully we take it home this year.
Right. Well, I understand. There's so many rings. I don't know how you keep track of them all, you know?
It's going to be a really interesting basketball season. You got Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons drama early. NBA's got to love that. Joel's lying, by the way, saying the team chemistry is great. If team chemistry was great, your GM wouldn't have said, hey, Ben, can you please just come, please, please, please just come to camp? You know, so he's lying, but mm-hmm. carry on. Mm-hmm. You got the drama out in L.A. with everybody sitting here talking about we're old, like you.
Well, it is the L.A. Ancients. I mean, y'all are basically like 150 years old combined. I'm just saying.
Fine. Yeah. That's fine that we're old. Oldness has never not won you a championship. Okay, so it's fine. We'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay,
we'll be fine. Youth ain't winning New Orleans any championships. Am I right?
This is not about us. It's not about us, Travis. It's about your Lakers. About your Lakers. I mean, okay. Clearly, you heard Tim Legler say it there. LeBron's going to love this. He essentially he'll show up for the last minute or so of the game. I don't agree with Legs. Who's going to close out? We all know who's going to close out. It's perfect for. You know, 46 minutes out of the game, Westbrook and everybody else can do their thing. And then, oh, here, woo-woo, I'm open. He'll hit the three. You'll act like it's the greatest three in the whole wide world. They'll say, look, he's the MVP, even though everybody else won the game. That's how it's going to go this year. I'm letting you know.
I disagree. Do you want to know why I disagree?
I'd love to.
There's Carmelo Anthony on that basketball team, too, mm-hmm. who's really, really good in the clutch as well. Mm. So... Those moments when LeBron used to attract a double team and make a pass and everybody be, well, why is he passing? Now if he makes that pass may go to AD. Mm-hmm. That pass may go to Melo in the corner. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to leave an open Melo. You know that's falling down.
Okay.
They create tons of matchup problems. And that's going to be the story of the Lakers all year. It's going to be just complete matchup problems. And how long they can actually sit LeBron on the bench this year and still get production. I mean, that's always been the story with his team. They sit him down, and it's just no production. Everything just slows down. Everything becomes, you know, stagnant. We watch games together, Gus, and I'm like, look at the offense. Here it is. Mm-hmm. Slows down. Look at everybody just standing around looking. Here we go. You know, it happens all the time, but now with Melo or now with Russ, that doesn't happen. It's going to be really impressive to see the Lakers this year. But I'm actually just excited. I know you just asked about it, but the West in general is going to be fun to watch because there's so many teams out there that look good. The poll question, do you think the Pelicans are playoff or play-in? They're a play-in team. I don't think they're a playoff team just yet. I mean, we'll have to see. Mm-hmm. We'll have to see if Big Heavy can actually, you know, play basketball this year. Gus.
It's the camera angle. Listen to me. It's the camera angle. The camera adds 10 pounds. So that Mountain Dew commercial... It adds 10 pounds.
Gus,
maybe 20.
I want you and all the Pelicans fans out there to do me a favor. I want you to Google a picture of Zion Williamson in high school, and then I want you to Google a picture of him right now and tell me if he doesn't look more fit as an NBA player in high school than he does as an NBA player right now.
It's all the time we have for Travis.
It's not right.
It's all the time we have for Travis. I'm sorry. I would answer that, Google. And I would Google it. But I'm up against it, and Lee needs in at least 2 minutes before we go to break. So thank you, Travis,
that's
much.
Yeah,
I will let you know.
Some of that
look,
Zion special gumbo.
I have a brand new iPhone 13 Pro, so extended battery life. It's beautiful, and it's ready to go. Heaven forbid y'all lose tonight. I'm just letting you know. Just heaven forbid.
We lose now.
Let me tell you something. This is where I'm at. This is where I'm at, okay? While I wait for the other guy to get his cardio going, and Zion. This is all I have until then. All right. This is all I have. Every time you lose, I'm going to text you.
Wait, real quick. Before his cardio gets going, can you tell him to keep his eyes open on defense too? Like while we're at it.
Well, you can't play defense when you suck and win, Travis.
He can't play defense, period.
Stop. No, he did. He did when he was about 65 pounds lighter. He did. He did. There's photographic video evidence at Duke of him blocking shots. Like, he did play defense at Duke.
Do you remember this conversation that we had a long time ago? Because, you know, it's about to come back around. Now,
I know.
You asked me. No, time out. You, before you go, let's be honest. You asked me who was going to be the best player from Duke out of that draft. And I told you, do you remember? I said it wasn't RJ. I said it wasn't going to be Zion. I said it was going to be Rich. I said Cam Reddish would be the best basketball player. He's the only one who was consistent, and he played defense. And guess who's balling out? You keep your eyes on Cam Reddish again this year.
There he is. Ladies and gentlemen, Travis, a member of the Kingdom, celebrating the start of a new season.
I'll
and as he just
trophy.
Said, there it is.
Mickey Mouse ring, baby.
He's going to go shine his trophy. There he goes. Travis, it's always a pleasure. Lee, how you doing, sir? Got about 2 minutes before we get to Christian Clark. What do you got?
Hey, Gus, man. I wanted to ask you a question. Who is Ben Simmons' agent, and who is he getting advice from?
Because you don't know who his agent is? Oh, come on. Clutch Sports, baby. It's Paul.
Oh, wow.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Nah, the reason I ask is because right now he's not only making it impossible for Philly to have him play this season, because I refuse to have anybody around my team that's going to poison. That's number one. Number two, nobody else in the NBA is going to touch him with a 10-foot pole because they don't want that in their locker room either.
So my question is, who's giving him advice? And this Clutch Sport, this is dereliction of duty on their part, because right now they just grabbed the money from the max contract he got. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know what? That's all we're going to get out of this team. Let's just go ahead on and give him whatever advice I want to give him and part ways with him or something. I don't understand the logic.
I don't either. But here's the thing, though, man. You saw it kind of creep up a bit at LSU, and. You know, last year, Stephen A. and several people towards the end of the year said, look, for the last 2 years, they have tried to get him sports psychologists, shot doctors, you name it, to work on his shot, to work on his game, and he refused to even meet, speak, or do what they asked him to, instead, you know, opting to do his own thing and basically not doing it. And so, you know, I would say this. When you don't respect your coaches or management at signing the check, the players you're playing with, my guess is I don't know what agent would be able to give them sound advice. I'm with you, Lee. I don't think Rich Paul's telling them to do this. He's losing money. Rich Paul looks bad in this. The agency looks bad in this. You can't do anything positive when you have a player acting like that. So, anyway, Lee, thank you so much, man. Appreciate the time. Are the Pels a playoff team, a play-in team, or a non-playoff team? All right. Christian Clark, next on this Black and Gold Report is brought to you by Ashley Barrios and Cutoff, State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. See Ashley today for all of your insurance needs. The Saints are ready to get back to work this week as they prepare to face the Seahawks in Seattle next Monday night. For New Orleans, it's about possibly getting back some players. Is receiver Michael Thomas one of those? Well, NFL Network's Ian Rappaport had this update on Monday.
I'm told he's still expected to be a couple weeks away, so that really quick infusion of offense to the New Orleans Saints and sound like it's coming this week or next week.
For Seattle, it's about quarterback Russell Wilson. He's out nursing a surgically repaired finger. Quarterback Cam Newton Sunday released this video.
Hell yeah, I want to still play football. Man, I'm just waiting on the right opportunity. You're probably asking yourself, don't nobody want Cam? That's a lie. I've been getting offers. But the realization of it is, it has to be right.
Seattle head coach Pete Carroll on Monday was asked at his presser about Cam being a Seahawk, that possibility, since they've talked in the past.
I talked to him a couple times, you know, and just trying to see what was going on in his world and all that. And we're wide open and continuing to compete with that. And, you know, there was nothing to be done then. And, you know, we're really counting on Gino to do the job. And that's, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know what's going to happen next.
For more on the Black and Gold, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold report has been brought to you by Ashley Berry Austin Cutoff, State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. See Ashley today for all of your insurance needs.
I was surprised.
I was definitely surprised.
Yep, we had no idea. Totally surprised.
Can you say jaw drop?
Who knew? State Farm, with these great rates?
The surprise everyone's talking about is the surprisingly great rates for home and auto insurance from State Farm, especially when you combine them.
When you want the real deal, call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today. 985-632-0988.
It's the Ram Power Days going on right now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
But at the end of the day, our job is not to babysit somebody. We here, we get paid to go just on the court, go out, play hard, win some games. That's all we get paid for. We don't get paid to come out here and, you know, try to babysit somebody and... So that's not our job, and I'm sure my teammates feel that way.
That is Joel Embiid on after practice today on Ben Simmons. So not babysitting, and I'm not concerned about that guy is how he referred to Ben Simmons after Doc Rivers gave him the heave-ho and tossed him out of practice. He's been suspended for the season opener tomorrow against the New Orleans Pelicans in the Smoothie King Center. To help talk about the Pels, Mr. Christian Clark. You can follow him on Twitter at cclark_13, covers the Pels for the Picayune Advocate. Sir, how are you this afternoon?
Good. It's pretty amazing that the Pelicans are opening the season against a team that is experiencing, I guess, more drama than them. But yeah, it's pretty unlikely.
Look, I started this week by saying, you know what? I'm not even worried about Zion. I know you have to ask about him. I know it is. Go get your cardio in. I literally said this last week. Go work out for the rest of October. I'll see you November 2nd at Phoenix, the first of four straight on the road. That game's going to be on, TNT. Just that's when I'll see you. In the meantime, let me focus about the rest of the team. Just go do that. And I guess that's kind of where we are with him, right? I mean, he's been cleared to run. And Christian, there's no way the guy can be in shape. My eyes tell me he's not.
I mean, yeah, there's just no question about it. I mean, I think anybody who saw him in person at Media Day, you know, understood that, look, this guy was just going to, he's going to have to do a lot of work just to get in proper game shape. And I guess the question to me, it's like, I mean, look, he's a guy with a very unique body type. Is it possible for this guy to get in the shape he needs without playing 5-on-5 and kind of coming back from a broken foot? I imagine it's possible, but like, I imagine it's very, very difficult for him, you know, to get to where he needs to get to without playing 5-on-5, which he can't do right now.
And Christian, I'm not trying to be ugly, and I'm not trying to body shame or say things of that nature. But I do think it's a legit topic of conversation and concern from an organizational standpoint as well as, is this going to be a player that is going to struggle to stay in shape? I understand there was a broken foot, so you can't run. I get that. But Christian, you look at photos of 2019 to now, you look at him at Duke, you look at him in the first media day 2-3 years ago, he's put on some size. And if you're starting to have injuries already now, it is something that the organization has to be concerned about, right?
Yeah, I think the organization has been concerned about it, like even dating back to like before his rookie year, you know, even going back to summer league, I think, you know, I there was a concern level of like, look, you just create so much force when you jump. You're such a unique athlete. Like, you've got to pay special attention to maintaining your body. And, you know, like, look, obviously, I think management's made a lot of missteps, like, and not exactly provided fertile ground for him to grow. But at the same time, like, yeah, I hope that this is I hope that this is, you know, something where, you know, Zion looks at this and it's sort of a wake up call for him.
Right. And that's what I mean too, because Christian, at the end of the day, the organization can provide a dietitian. He can provide, you know, the state of the art workout facilities, a personal trainer, all the things that we would love to have in order to be in the best shape. And at the end of the day though, you know, the Lakers and LeBron James are starting, I don't know, his 400th season, and you see the shape that he is in, and some of the other players, like the Lakers have some of the oldest players, but you see the shape they're in. You have to put in the work. Like, you, at the end of the day, yourself have to do it. And I almost look at the game that they're going to be playing tomorrow, Joel Embiid. This was a lot of talk about him, right? Eating burgers, eating stuff on the sidelines, being on the phone, not caring about his body. Christian, last year, the guy turned into an MVP candidate. So there is hope, but it comes down to the individual player wanting to do it.
Yeah, I mean, the Embiid thing is, I think that's a really, you know, interesting example. I mean, it really is, like, a lot more difficult for Zion than, like, you know, the average NBA player to get in the shape he gets in. Like, I think just the way he puts on weight and muscle is just different. Like, I think he gains weight in ways that other guys don't. So, like, he just has to start going the extra mile. I mean, I think, you know, what these first 2.5 years has shown is that, like, you know, there's a lot of legitimate concern that your prime won't be very long unless you're willing to go the extra mile, which, you know, I don't think he's really done that much so far. And I think it's also tough, too, because it's like, I think we all understand, like, hey, this, you know, the fitness, the conditioning, it needs to be better. But, like, it's hard to tell that to somebody who's 21 years old who just averaged 27 points a game on 62% shooting. Like, right. Looking back at last season, which was obviously a failure, like, it really wasn't on Zion, you know? So it's kind of hard to tell him, like, hey, man, you need to do better, when it's true. But at the same time, like, they had so many other bigger problems last year.
No doubt. And that's why I think the reason I'm starting with this, Christian, is because it's going to be one of the early storylines to be able to tell when he does come back. Because this is a team that, you ask Trey Murphy, and you see his confidence with his three-point shot. He says he puts in the work. You've seen Brandon Ingram put in work and improve his body. Jackson Hayes as well. If this team starts to play really well together, you know, it's gonna be interesting to see how he kind of fits in with that kind of mentality and everything. So that's why it was interesting Willie Green yesterday say, look, he's trying to be more vocal and trying to be involved more with the team. Because, Christian, I thought that might be a concern. They've moved, not saying they moved on, but you have a collective of guys that have been doing it a certain way now for about 2-3 months. And I think instead of how they're going to mesh with him, I think he's going to have to mesh with them. Does that make sense, or am I off on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense. I mean, it's tough for Willie Green because it's like he hasn't even seen what his full team looks like. And, you know, 40-year-old first-time head coach, like, he's going to just have to adapt on the fly. But, like, I think, you know, once Zion's back here, I mean, I think the roster, like, makes, like, some sense for sure with the additions of Devontae Graham and Trey Murphy. Like, those are the types of guys, like, I definitely would be trying to put around Zion. Like,
right.
You know, high-volume catch-and-shoot three-point threats. Like, I mean, I could see them, like, fitting together offensively pretty easily. I mean, I said before the season, you know, I guess before I knew for sure that Zion was going to miss this first chunk of the season, like, I could easily see this team being a top-10 offense. I like the fit offensively of a lot of what they have in place. I mean, to me, the big question is, you know, with Zion, with that caveat, but, like, to me, the question is defensively. Like, this team has finished 21st and 23rd. You know, it's just like, hey, is Brandon Ingram going to buy in on defense this year? Is Zion going to buy in on defense when he comes back? Like, is playing drop a little bit more going to help, and, you know, not hemorrhage threes too. So, like, I like them offensively when Zion's here a lot. I just don't know how much progress is achievable on defense.
Got about 5 minutes here with Christian and Clark. See, Clark3000 is the way to follow him over on Twitter if you want to go check him out. I'm sorry, CClark_13 if you want to go do that. You changed that, huh? It used to be 3000, huh?
I switched it up. I'm trying to sound a little more like an adult. I don't know.
Okay. I was losing my mind. I'm like, I'm almost positive it used to be that. But one of the things, Christian, that I looked at with this team here, let's go kind of rapid fire to kind of break it down for fans that are going to tune in the game tomorrow. I thought it was interesting. Willie Green said it's a 10, he thinks, right now, man rotation, at the most 11. Do you have an idea as to who those 10, 11 will be? Like, who's going to be sitting on the bench watching that you think might surprise some fans tomorrow?
Oh, man. there's just so many unknowns with the lineup right now. If I had to guess who they end up starting tomorrow, I think I would say Devontae Graham, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, Najee Marshall, Brandon Ingram, and Jonas Valanciunas. I think, you know, as we saw 2 years ago when Zion was out, well, Brandon Ingram played a lot of, like, that power forward. I think,
right,
you know, we could see that again. But that would be my guess on the starting five. And then, you know, as far as your backup unit goes, I think Thomas Satoransky is going to play. I think Trey Murphy, you have to play him. And, like, to me, that's a guy you should even be considering starting. I think Jackson Hayes is definitely going to play. Mm-hmm. So those are eight I feel really, really good about. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, Willie said, hey, look, we're not giving any real answers on the starting lineup until Wednesday.
Right.
Kind of like wait and see.
I know you've seen this as well, and I kind of talked about it last week. Pels fans already kind of dubbing Garrett Temple this year's Eric Bledsoe. That's never a good thing when people refer to it from that standpoint to it. Look, he didn't have success scoring in the preseason, but it does seem like, listening to Willie Green, he feels that Garrett Temple brings a lot of other values to this team.
Yeah, I asked Willie about that yesterday at practice. Like, hey, look, is that someone, you know, you're at least still considering for the starting lineup? Because he did start all four preseason games. And he said, yeah, right, look, he is a guy we're considering. I mean, I think, like, the next Eric Bledsoe or whatever, like, that's, I don't know, pretty ridiculous and, like, premature. I mean,
it's a little early.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, Eric Bledsoe was the total minutes leader last season. Right. Like, there's, like, no world where Garrett Temple's the total minutes leader this season. And also, like, really the problem with Bledsoe, too, is, like, he just didn't care. And, like, you know, he's obviously a more talented player than Garrett Temple. But, like, I don't think we're going to get a situation where Garrett Temple's just, like, mailing it in, you know. So I think that's, yeah, you know, like, I know, like, it's kind of just a joke, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's not real fair.
I'm excited about the rookies here as well. Trey Murphy, and you already got a little taste of that in the preseason game here with the home crowd kind of standing up and expecting this guy to knock down some threes. What do you think will be a fun matchup or some players to keep an eye on tomorrow when they take on the Sixers? And again, the Sixers are a team that they're trying to compete and contend to try to get a finals spot. So this is kind of where they are.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it's kind of the obvious one, the one in the middle. I mean,
Embiid.
Joel Embiid and Jonas Valanciunas. I mean, last year, Steven Adams, he did a pretty good job against Joel Embiid in a couple of those games. And think back, the Pelicans even beat the 76ers at home. One time they got a monster game from Zion. So that'll be hard to replicate with him sitting out. But, yeah, I'm really interested to see how Jonas does just against Joel Embiid in the post. I mean, you know, Jonas, I think he's a more talented offensive player than Steven Adams. Like, can give you a lot more in the scoring department. He's just a lot more effective scorer inside and, you know, can hit a jumper once in a while. But I just don't think he's, like, quite the banger defensively that Steven is. So, yeah, they might have to send some help tomorrow, too, at times.
All right, Christian, our question of the day, we'll wrap up with you, sir. Very simple. Are the Pelicans a playoff team, a play-in team, still not a playoff team?
I think they're a play-in tournament team, even with the Zion stuff, although it does make it really, really difficult to project. But, yeah, I mean, like, this team's mantra should be play-in tournament or die trying. Like, if they aren't a play-in tournament team, then, like, I mean, things have gone pretty, pretty wrong. I'm like, hey, if you get all the way up to six, like, that's great, baby. That's a great season for this team. But they got to be a play-in tournament team.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there. At CClark_13, I think they're a play-in team. And it's not even because I don't think they're that good or have talent or shooting. The West is ridiculous. The West has a lot of teams that are going to be good. So, I mean, you can almost look at it right now and say, okay, these six spots are pretty much locked up. So who's falling out and who's kind of going in? So I do think they're at least a play-in team. And we'll start seeing, man. Who you like tonight, Warriors, Lakers, Bucks, and Nets?
I like the Warriors, and I like the Bucks.
Oh, going Warriors over the Lakers, man. You do know you've seen it already, right, in the preseason. Like, the first quarter, if there's a shot made, a layup or a dunk or a three by the Lakers, it's going to be on 16 different Twitter accounts. You see that, right? You have seen it this preseason. I was shocked they lost the games. Like, I kept looking at these, like, Twitter, like, at 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night, and LeBron behind the back to Russ, Russ off the glass to LeBron and dunk, and then I'd wake up the next morning, and they lost. You know, it was nuts. So I'm just preparing you, Christian, for what it's going to be like this year.
I'll try to stay off Twitter and just watch the game.
There you go. Always a pleasure, man. Looking forward to covering the season with you, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you.
At CClark_13 is the way to follow Christian Clark over on Twitter. Quick break. We come back. See if the intern is still awake. He probably took a nap in the afternoon. It's a beautiful day. Probably sitting on his deck on the North Shore. We'll ask him to give us some updates over on social media. Plus, Dabo Sweeney has made a comment to maybe the possibility of LSU pursuing him. I'll tell you what he had to say next on ESPN New Orleans.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
It's a big win for Slidell, a big win for the whole North Shore, and it's called Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. This $325 million project will have a positive impact on our community. It's a fact. In cities with resorts like this one, jobs go up, home values rise, and the economy booms. And think about this. All the money that goes to Mississippi casinos now will stay right here and turn into millions for us. Winner! Millions to fix flooding. Millions to build a new sports complex for East St. Tammany. And millions for our roads, our schools, our safety. See what we've got planned for Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. Get more details and find answers to all your questions at thenorthshorewinds.com. Vote yes, and the North Shore wins. Vote yes, and we all win. Paid for by the North Shore Winds.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
All right, so, let's see. Trying to keep track of all of this here as well. James Franklin, Jimbo Fisher, Lane Kiffin, Mel Tucker from Michigan State, some of the names you've heard out there being thrown as possible replacements for Ed Ogeron at the end of the season. And yesterday, obviously, was the first day that a lot of coaches have their media availability and things of that nature. Jimbo Fisher yesterday was asked about it, and he essentially said, I think the exact quote was, "I like everything about College Station," kind of saying he's happy there. Lane Kiffin went the route of, well, you can control only what you can control, I'm not worried about it. So he didn't exactly say no, yes, or anything. Matt Moscona, after further review, the last 2 days has said that he's hearing, that he's already publicly stumping for it, he has no buyout, and he would take it if offered. He did say also as well, Matt, that LSU representatives have officially, well, they've already reached out to James Franklin's reps from Penn State and that it didn't go well. Now, he said that, look, it doesn't mean that negotiations are done or there's no chance of there being any. But the initial approach was not probably what LSU probably would have liked. Now, does that mean he's happy where he's at? Or does that mean that USC, which has been tied to James Franklin, or at least their desire to talk to him at the end of the season, could that be one of the reasons why that's the case? Could it have been James Franklin's representative saying, hey, look, thank you for the interest. We want to hear what USC has to say first, though. Right? Here's Paul Feinbaum on his show approaching the subject, what's the better job, LSU or USC?
Legitimate question, and my answer is very simply LSU. Why? Because I think LSU is a standalone state. There is no competition. You cannot live entirely off of Louisiana products, but you can live well off of products just from that one state. And Ed Orgeron has lost a lot of those players. Just look at the Alabama roster. There are plenty of Louisiana kids playing. And I know the greatness of SC, and you've heard me talk about it, and I think it can be great again. But the last three LSU football coaches have won national championships. Nick Saban, of course, Les Miles, and Ed Orgeron. And when you have a program that, when Les Miles and Ed Orgeron can win national championships at your program, anybody can, because I don't think either one of them are great football coaches.
All right. Very interesting when you look at it from that perspective. We're bringing Jordan the intern. Jordan, when I played that earlier in the show, I started laughing. I'm like, well, you know what? It is true. Like, I'm trying to think of another program where the last three head coaches have won a national championship. And you could probably say two of those probably beside themselves. Or despite themselves, rather, not beside themselves. Isn't that crazy, though? I'm trying to think of another program where three straight different head coaches won a national championship. Obviously not back-to-back seasons, but in 10 years. That is, I can't think of many schools, huh, Jordan?
No, I guess, what, 10, 15 years isn't that long of a time since. I can't think of probably, you know, over, like, more, like, maybe over 20 years or so. But, I mean, within 15 years, it's kind of unheard of.
It's nuts when you think about it from that perspective. This was Feinbaum's take when he was asked about the next coach.
Scott Woodward was the athletic director at Washington, where he hired Peterson out there, which was a big-time hire. Didn't stay that long, but he was still a very good hire. He went to Texas A&M and hired Jimbo Fisher. Scott Woodward originally worked at LSU when Nick Saban was there, and he got to know Jimbo Fisher. I think he would like to hire Jimbo Fisher. I'm not sure that's possible. And Jimbo yesterday tried to tamp it down, but I don't think that's going to happen. So where does he go? There was a report in The Athletic by Bruce Feldman that he's going to go after Dabo Swinney. I don't put a lot of stock in that. I mean, not that I don't think he will. I don't think Dabo will take it. Mario Cristobal's name, of course, is being mentioned. An interesting name to keep your eyes on is Mel Tucker, who is at Michigan State right now and really doing a fantastic job.
So, Jordan, this just popped up a few seconds ago, about an hour ago. Dabo Swinney had his presser, Mark Whiteman from WYFF News 4. He said, with Dabo Swinney on the report that LSU AD Scott Woodward is going to swing big and try to lure a marquee name like his, quote, this is the only Death Valley I'm concerned with. So that's Dabo Swinney's response on that. Jordan, so if we're keeping count, Lane Kiffin, I think yesterday said something along the lines of, I can only control what I can't control. So he never really said yay or nay. And again, I brought up Matt Moscona saying the last 2 days that he's actively already stumping or letting the right people know that he would be interested, he would take the job, and he wants the job from Ole Miss. I think, again, the James Franklin thing, as Matt said on Sunday night and yesterday, the initial reach out by LSU to Franklin's people didn't go well. So I wonder if that has to do a lot with the USC situation in that. Again, the fickle thing, the more people talk to me about it, and I talked to them about it. Seems to be more of a Midwest guy. He's going to the Big 12. He's going to be Power 5. Why leave? He's got over there right now. So it could be a guy like Tucker, right? I think it's Tucker Kiffin. And I've noticed today, if you look at odds in sports books, Mel Tucker's name is starting to kind of get towards the top here already, as I think some of these reports already starting to circulate as to who's really interested and who's really not. And it's not whether you're interested or not. Is this a better job than where you are? That's what it comes down to, isn't it, Jordan?
Well, it's LSU's in a weird situation right now because, I mean, you are at the midway point of the college football season, and you're, you know, actually looking for a new head coach for next year, and it seems like a lot of these guys, if they're trying to swing big, they have their own program that they're trying to, you know, take care of right now. I mean, they're also at the midway point of their football season, and they're all looking at that, you know, that trophy, that college football playoff trophy. And I'm sure that's probably not the first thing that's on their mind right now. I think what's on their mind is this season. So if they're trying to swing big for a big coach, I just don't think it's the right time to be, you know, talking to these people, because I could see them getting a little bit aggravated.
Right. So, like I said, I think it's one of those things where there's sort of an excitement to a fan base or an excitement in media. Well, who could it be? And you're right. You bring up this point. It's October 19th. I mean, there's still six games to be played, if not seven for certain schools. So there's a lot to still be played and decided, and how things end, I think, maybe may add to it here as well. Clemson continues to struggle. Could you pry him away again? He's got everything he wants over there. You know, if James Franklin, Penn State doesn't win nearly as much, is that something that goes to it as well? So I don't know. It is sort of kind of one of those things to kind of wait and see when it goes to it. Jordan, anything else I've missed today, man? Other top headlines or storylines in and around the world of sports?
Yeah, Andrew Lopez about an hour ago said that Willie Green says everyone other than Zion Williamson was a full participant in practice today. And to his knowledge, everyone should be available tomorrow night for the opener against Philadelphia.
Okay, well, that's a good sign there as well. Andrew also saying that Nikhil spoke today, and it looks like Willie Green said, look, he wants him to come off the bench there, so it doesn't seem to be sort of the starter there. I don't know if that means that Trey Murphy, you know, will be a starter. You know how I feel. I'd love to have Trey Murphy because he can play defense, he can play offense. Or do you think he goes with another veteran, Jordan? Do you think tomorrow he goes at Garrett Temple, goes at Josh Hart? I don't know how I feel about that. You know what I'm saying? I need size, length, offense, defense out there. And I think Trey Murphy fits all of those different things. I'd rather Najee Marshall sort of start. So I'm interested to see how it all is going to go down tomorrow. Who would you start at your starting five tomorrow? Who would your starting five be?
I mean, it's a hard. I definitely think for that last spot, you have to give it to a veteran. I think you have to, you know, give them, you know, not saying that, you know, it's probably the best option to put a guy that's been there in the league longer because of, you know, it's just his stature. But I just think putting a rookie in there right now, I think you have to get off to a fast start and let the rook who want to be in that starting lineup kind of prove themselves.
See, I would normally agree with you, but for this standpoint, the two rookies that you will, Herbert Jones isn't going to start. I think with Trey, but even with both, they have tremendous basketball IQs, like tremendous basketball IQs. They play good defense. So I'm with you. I think if there was somebody that has to, you know, kind of learn the offense, learn the system, what I've seen from Trey Murphy from summer league to preseason is he fits in whatever the offense is doing. He'll go sit in the corner and wait for the ball and shoot a three. He can distribute the basketball. He can play defense the entire time. Knows where to go because he has basketball awareness. Literally clears out the space, as we saw in that Orlando game, for another player, Herbert Jones, to score. So that doesn't seem like a rookie that's going to get in the way. So if you're going to start a vet over him, he better be better than him. And right now, I don't know if I can't say, and again, I get it, he hasn't played a minute. Maybe I'm being an idiot. But Jordan, I don't know if I can't say that Trey Murphy isn't one of the top five players on this roster, honestly.
Oh, I mean, he definitely has the potential to be one of those players, but I just think
okay,
summer league and then the preseason is just kind of a different, you know, animal than the regular season. Once the regular season gets underway, the games are meaningful, obviously, and it's just different. I mean, you saw what Nikhil Alexander did, you know, his first couple of years in the summer league and in preseason. He lit it up, and then when he came to the regular season, it just wasn't the same player. Obviously, he's definitely made leaps and bounds since then, but from those beginning years, it was different play from him when you looked at, you know, preseason basketball to the regular season from his standpoint of where he started at the beginning of his career. And I think that will be the same thing for the rookie for a couple of games. But I just think you want to get acclimated to the NBA speed and NBA style of play before you just throw him out there in the very first game of his career as a start.
All right, there is Jordan the intern. JD Kleber is the way to follow you over on Twitter, sir. Thank you. Good job today. And we'll talk to you. Oh, by the way, how'd the French test go?
It went. but as much as I can say, it went.
You didn't do too well, did you?
I mean, not as good as I wanted to.
Wow. Adam Silver, by the way, is on NBA Today. That is the new basketball show. And he was just asked about Ben Simmons. Quote, "There's a reason we have contracts in this league." Ben, what are you doing? I don't know if Ben's going to not winning this one, bud. Winning this one. Thank you, Jordan. We'll talk again. Oh, New Orleans Pelicans. There he goes, Jordan the intern. Quick break, we come back. Final segment of the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com.
GregLeBlancToyota.com.
We are Homa Strong.
Coco's Mexican Restaurant on Highway 1 in Raceland is open and ready to please you. They have daily lunch specials Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mouth-watering Mexican food daily with delicious specialty dishes like coconut shrimp tacos, Baja fish tacos. Plus try the trio burritos or a carne asada. Coco's Mexican has happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. Delivery service from waiters also available. They're located on Highway 1 in Raceland next to the post office. Coco's.
This is ESPN Radio.
Bill Parcells, the Hall of Fame coach.
When I first went to the Jets, I called John Robinson. I said, "Tell me about Keyshawn." He didn't even blink. He said, "Bill, you're going to love this guy."
J.D. McKissick, the running back, Washington football team.
Everyone talks about Phillip Rivers being the pride of Phoenix City, Alabama.
Phillip Rivers? I am Phoenix City.
NBA coach Doc Rivers. Can Ben Simmons play for you and win a championship?
Yeah, all day.
Derrick Henry joining us.
Hardest hit you ever took.
Deshaun Elliott caught me right up under the chin. I was like, oh, Lord.
Jermichael Finley, former Packers tied end.
You can't bring in your brother and expect to win championship. I think that's what Aaron Rodgers did with Carr.
Doc Gooden joining us.
We got labeled as bad guys. We got labeled as parting guys. A lot of that is true.
Brandon Staley, Chargers head coach. Rams wide receiver Deshaun Jackson.
Lawrence Epp, the Hall of Famer, joining us.
When they told me I was coming on, I told them, "Can't wait. That's my dog. I love you."
The biggest names in sports come here. And it all starts weekday mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. And continues all day. This is ESPN Radio.
Can we talk
sports? Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
All right, final segment. And again, don't forget, please go give it a try. DraftKings, especially with the NBA back tonight. Two games tonight, Nets and Bucks. And you got the Warriors at the Lakers. Both games on TNT, by the way. But a really cool companion is DraftKings. Obviously, if you've been doing it for the NFL, it's been fun. If not, you should try it with that. And also now with, of course, basketball being back and DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, to celebrate by giving new customers millions of dollars in total prizes. And look, should be fun because you get points for everything, right? Three-pointers, rebounds, assists, obviously scoring as well. So you can score big and score big in the cash department. Speaking of DraftKings, safe, secure, reliable, and you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So download the app and then put in the code LaRose and away you go. And you should be able to have some fun. So, again, both games starting tonight at 6:30 over on TNT. The commissioner is live right now on NBA Today. And he answered the Ben Simmons thing by saying, look, this is why contracts. So, again, he's suspended. He got tossed out of practice. He will not be available tomorrow to take on the Pelicans over at the Smoothie King Center. Tomorrow we'll break it down a lot more as well. See where they are, and as we take a look at the final, I guess, poll numbers here, we'll keep it open overnight to see where we are. But 44% of you think this is a play-in team, 23 just a flat-out playoff team and won't be in the play-in. So that's the top six. What's interesting is 33% of y'all feel they're going to miss the playoffs. So there is definitely a large segment of the population that's still not buying it just yet, or maybe perhaps are sitting there saying, I'm going to have to see it to believe it for sure. So we will talk again tomorrow about it. We'll have Ty Graffinini, voice of the Pels, other Pelicans beat reporters as well, get their take. Will Guillory, Andrew, the works, and all of that. And plus, you can hear the game right here on ESPN New Orleans. Our thanks to everybody that timed in today. Frank Selfo, Willie Fritz, Tim Rebo, Christian Clark, Jay Walker, Luke Johnson. Matt Moscone now after further review is up next. Thank you, buddy. Thank you, Jordan. And thank you for listening on ESPN New Orleans.